Hi, with Truth News Radio Australia. It's the 28th of June 2012. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another show. It's great to be speaking to you today. My name's Hereward Fenton. I broadcast from Sydney, Australia. And this show goes out on a number of networks in the US. And we also are a podcast show that is downloadable from our website at truthnews.com.au. We are engaging in the information war, and I have a number of, missiles to launch today in that war. I've actually been building up a list of key information bombs that I need to detonate during this show, and I do hope you will appreciate the information I've gleaned, and I get it from a number of different sources. I get it from following my own news feeds, I get it from listeners, I get it from looking at all the social networking. And, you know, we have an emphasis of news that relates to Australia, but our main concern is issues that also affect everyone in the world. Now, for the entire show today, our phone lines will be open, and I would like to strongly encourage anyone listening to please call in. We would love to actually hear from you. And I'm going to read to you the phone numbers that you can call in on here. If you're calling from Australia, you can call in on 1-300-153-372, and that is a local call cost call-in number. If you're calling in the US, you can call 512-646-1984. And I believe that is also local call cost or perhaps free. So welcome calls today. I really would love to hear your opinion. If you've been listening to our shows in the past, we've had some controversial topics come up in the past few weeks. John Bursell engaged with a number of what you might call fringe aspects of the 9/11 truth movement, which some people find hard to grasp. And we've had other people on who strongly disagree with John's position on some of these things. I would love to know what you think. And the whole purpose of having a talkback radio show is to actually have that exchange of ideas. So very interested to know what your opinions are of some of the alternate 9/11 theories which were brought up at the Vancouver hearings, which John was referring to, and particularly, you know, the more controversial questions about the Pentagon or any of those other questions about 9/11. And if you particularly got any strong views or any evidence you'd like to present, please call in. I mean, I've got a pretty strong position on a lot of this myself, and I don't encourage people to basically waffle on about things that are completely unsubstantiated. So, you know, if you want to do that, I'm probably going to respond in a fairly critical way to that. But then again, I'm always open to anyone bringing me new information. So please call in and we'll have a chat. Now, for the rest of the show, I'm going to start off with our news stream, our Twitter news stream. And if you're actually wanting to follow that yourself, you can go to the website and you can just find the Twitter link. It's actually twitter.com/truthnewsoz. So let me just get those links up and we'll start moving through the news. I'm going to start with some Australian news. We've got the Queensland Police here ready to trial high-tech surveillance drones to chase criminals. And we've got an article here from the Courier Mail, which has a cute little picture of this little drone helicopter, and it's got a camera on it. And it really looks like a child's toy, you know. And if you were a 10-year-old kid, you'd think, wow, that's so cool, you know. I can have this little drone and it can fly around and I can film things. Yeah, well, you know, that's what the Queensland Police are going to be doing. And it says here that they're going to use them to chase criminals. And they're going to detect drug crops with them, and they're going to find missing people. And all at a fraction of the cost of a normal helicopter. So, it sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? But, you know, these pesky civil liberties people, gee, you know, apparently one of these civil liberties people said that that the drones pose significant privacy concerns. Oh, my goodness, why? Well, you know, the drones are quite small, and they can fly around, hover around. They could probably hover outside your apartment building and kind of peer into your window and see what you're doing, you know. They could just hover over your backyard while you're having a barbie and just, you know, film that. They could just follow you around if they think you might be a criminal. See, the thing is, there's a kind of a blurry distinction there between someone who is a criminal and someone who might be a criminal. And of course, a lot of police work is chasing suspects. And as we know, a lot of suspects are completely innocent. Quite often they find themselves the wrong side of the law. And there was a case recently in Sydney where a suspect was tasered to death in the Rocks in inner Sydney simply because he ran away from the police. And this was early in the morning, and the police started chasing him, and he ran. And it turned out he was a very respectable guy, went to university, no criminal background, hadn't done anything wrong, actually. His parents were quite wealthy, and there was a huge stink over that, mainly because, you know, this was not just some nobody or some street hobo. But see, the police often get the wrong guy, or just they like to chase people. So they now have another tool in their arsenal for doing that and harassing people, and it's these little helicopters, and they're currently trialing it. So we can expect this technology to roll out. And, if you've read 1984, the novel by George Orwell, this was predicted in his novel. There are little drones that hover around people's buildings and just watch them. And indeed, why not? You know, from the point of view of the law and order, pre-crime mentality, why not? Why not just have these drones hovering around? Because you might be doing something naughty in your apartment building, and we'll just keep an eye on it. And, you know, you'll just have to then be degraded and humiliated, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about you being humiliated. And, of course, people can say, well, it's harmless, you know, get over it. Just learn to relax. And indeed, you can just get over it, learn to relax. You can learn to relax when they give you the proctological examination at the airport too. Just relax. It'll be over quick. The quicker, the better. And I've spoken to people in prison, and that's what they do. You know, when they're being strip searched in prisons, they just totally relax and they say, let's get this over with as quickly as possible, because I don't like it and neither do you. The prison guards don't like doing it. The prisoners don't like having it done. It's just one of those unfortunate things we all have to do. That's if you're in prison. But of course, if we're in a civil society, again, that also is the case. We're going to have to just relax, get over it. And in fact, really, the drones are a small addition to what is already being done. On the streets of Sydney, we have police with sniffer dogs, and I've witnessed this many times. The police with sniffer dogs will stand outside train stations, although they'll often go into train stations, and they'll wander around on the platforms, and or they'll just be standing on the street, and you'll just be an innocent passerby walking down the street, and the policeman with the dog will sit down and kind of lift his head up and do some little signal that tells the policeman that you're a bad person, you know, you've got something naughty on you, and then the policeman will say, stop, you're now going to be searched. And I saw this happen just a couple of weeks ago. Just an ordinary looking guy walking down the street. They grabbed him. They took him into some little back area there of the station. And then they were feeling him up, and they were doing all kinds of things. I didn't wait around to see what the outcome was. Quite often the outcome is the guy just walks away again, because the dogs are only correct. Like, the dogs actually have a 50% failure rate in terms of what I have read in terms of the research of this. So, in effect, if a dog indicates that you might have drugs, it's about the same as a random search. It's about has about the same statistical probability of actually giving you valid suspect, as if you just randomly pick people. So, and I think the police like to have the dogs because it, you know, gives them a justification. They can say, well, the dog picked up your smell, and, you know, and then they can say, oh, well, you know, we made a mistake. Mistakes happen. Off you go. And this happens all day long. This happens every day of the week. They walk into bars and pubs. They walk into clubs. They walk into private establishments with their dogs. And there was quite a high-profile case a couple of years ago where this happened, and the police walked into a pub in Newtown in Sydney, And they were sniffing up a guy, and they got him to stand up. And a couple of photographs were actually taken, and they were pulling his pants down. They were actually pulling the guy's pants down in the pub. And, of course, you know, the police just think, well, you know, you're just some druggie. We can do whatever you like. You know, you don't have any special rights here. Turned out there was a lawyer who was watching it all, and he got up and approached the man as he was being interrogated by the police and offered his card to the man and said, look, if you need legal assistance, here's my card. Now, the police responded by punching this man in the face. Yeah, the lawyer who stood up to offer his card to the man being randomly searched, having his pants pulled down in the pub, was himself punched in the face by the cop and actually flew right across the room and broke one of his ribs. It was quite a violent blow, and he actually went right across and landed on the ground, broke a rib. Now, after that, the police then charged that lawyer with an offence. And it was, you know, one of those offences like interfering with police work. And the guy who'd been searched, they didn't find anything on him, but the lawyer was charged. And the lawyer then had to go to court and had to argue his case against the police. And guess what? You know, he was let off. You know, he wasn't interfering with police work. It was perfectly legitimate for him to give the card to the man. But the court did not award the lawyer any damages, and the policeman did not get punished in any way. It was just another day's work for law enforcement in Sydney. And luckily, you know, the lawyer didn't get a criminal mark against him. Had he been not a lawyer, and had he tried to intervene in that way, he probably wouldn't have escaped without a conviction, because really the laws are stacked against anyone who tries to get in the way of the police, or if they perceive that you are trying to get in the way of what they're doing. So, you know, I mean, why should we even worry about drones? I mean, we've already got dogs sniffing up our crotch in the pubs. We've already got the body scanners coming into the airports, which is a virtual strip search. And who knows, they may compound that with the physical pat-downs as they do in the US. But of course, Australia is getting a full complement of strip search body scanners, which are due to go into effect very, very soon. Well, we're about to go to break. I hope you enjoyed that little excursion there, and we'll be back with more breaking news after these short messages. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm Hereward Fenton. Please stay with us, and I will be right back. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths, and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is great to have your company today. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. I have another story here that you may find interesting. From Queensland in Australia, up to 20,000 genetically engineered mosquitoes released in Australian towns. Now, you may remember some stories from a couple of years ago that Bill Gates was actually trying to fund a vaccination technology which uses mosquitoes to actually transmit the vaccines. Now, this type of technology is actually in process right now in Queensland. If you'll just excuse me a moment, I'm just having a little trouble with my mic. So the story we have today is genetically engineered mosquitoes are being released into Queensland. Two towns in northern Australia have recently been gifted with 10 to 20,000 genetically engineered mosquitoes, almost completely replacing mosquitoes naturally occurring in the outdoors. Although the mosquitoes released are still genetically modified, they aren't the same as the more well-known mosquitoes developed by the company that I was referring to there before in relation to Bill Gates. Now, the original idea was developed by this company called Oxitec, and it is responsible for the creation of genetically engineered mosquitoes containing a gene designed to kill the mosquitoes unless they are given an antibiotic known as tetracycline. The company created this internally manipulated insect to help control agricultural pests and reduce insect-borne diseases like dengue fever and malaria. These new mosquitoes released in Australia, however, are developed with a slightly different strategy. A bacterium named Wolbachia pipentius infects numerous insect species and harnesses the ability to alter its host's reproductive ability. When this happens, entire populations become infected within generations, and when the bacterium infects mosquitoes, the mosquito's ability to pass on the dengue virus vanishes. Now, of course, a dengue virus is the reason why these genetically modified mosquitoes are purportedly being released. And dengue does cause a lot of illness, and it is a problem, and it is endemic in northern Queensland and in many parts of the world. But, you know, is releasing thousands of genetically engineered mosquitoes really a safe way to deal with this? I mean, has this been tested? Well, unfortunately, no. But the mosquitoes have been released. But numerous scientists have expressed concern regarding the release of these genetically engineered mosquitoes. They point out that the bacterium that is in the mosquitoes could itself become out of control once released in a way that does not naturally occur. In addition, mosquitoes less susceptible to dengue infection could in turn become more susceptible to other viruses. So in other words, you may indeed eliminate the dengue virus, but you may get another virus coming in that is bad too, maybe even worse. Unfortunately, no peer-reviewed scientific proof of the safety of this technology can be offered. So there has been no scientific study validating what they've done. Remember, they've already released the mosquitoes, folks. Long-term effects have not been at all measured, and once these insects are released, they cannot be recalled. So some questions here raised in the article that I am actually reading from naturalsociety.com. What could happen to the ecosystem and food chain with the major decrease in this particular mosquito population? Tetracycline, the antibiotic genetically engineered mosquitoes are supposed to have no contact with, is showing up in the environment. With tetracycline being present in the wild, these GE mosquitoes would survive and thrive. Mosquitoes can develop resistance to the lethal gene inputted by Oxitec. In fact, 3.5% of the insects survived to adulthood in laboratory tests. 0.5% of the released insects are female. What happens to humans if bitten by the female mosquitoes? Anyway, look, you don't really need to get into such a deep level of analysis to understand that this is just nuts. And these people are out of control. This type of research, which is clearly getting funding from Big Pharma and endorsed by the government, is, you know, conservatively, you could just say it's nuts. But worse than that, you know, it's potentially very, very dangerous. So I leave that to you to take a look at. It'll be in our show notes on our site. And we can just add that to the list of extremely risky and dangerous things being done by the medical industrial complex. And that's a word that I like to use. We often talk about the military industrial complex and its threat to the health and safety of humanity. But the medical industrial complex, in many ways, is very similar. It's got a similar amount of money and resources behind it. And it's backed by governments in the same way that military expenditure is. And, you know, it's just out of control. Out of control with a false illusion of safety and regulation. But then all these regulatory bodies themselves are just big bureaucracies. They're just big rorts that are actually set up to fluff the, you know, the cushions of the people who work in those institutions. They're not really doing what they say they are. Every time they create a giant bureaucracy which is supposed to regulate something, that just becomes another opportunity for a rort. But, you know, we do need to have proper regulations. It's just that the current framework under which all this works is completely fraudulent. So we'll just move on now with some other stories. Now, I want to talk in more depth about Syria, and I do believe that the latest news coming through in relation to Syria indicates that the Syrians are somewhat being abandoned by Russia. And I'm going to actually try and get a guest in to speak about that specifically in the next segment. But it looks like Syria, after having been set up, and as we've seen, Amnesty International collaborating in outrageous propaganda, the Turks flying a plane into Syrian airspace, which the Syrians had to shoot down. There is no choice. If you are maintaining your sovereignty as a nation, and a foreign hostile government flies a plane directly into your airspace fast and low, as the Turkish fighter was doing, you have to shoot it down, and they did. And of course, this is now being used in a sort of Gulf of Tonkin type way to try and trigger military intervention in Syria. The Turks are actually claiming that the Syrian attack on the Turkish fighter was an attack on NATO, and that NATO therefore must respond. So we'll bring you more on that in the next segment. I want to briefly refer here to another medical industrial complex story. Swine flu death toll revised to nearly 300,000 people. The H1N1 swine flu 2009 pandemic probably claimed more than 250,000 lives, which is 15 times more than the 18,000 reported. And this is all in a paper in The Lancet. Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal. The elevated toll underlined the need for better planning and vaccine distribution, said a team of epidemiologists and physicians who made a statistical model based on population and infection estimates to present what they believe is a more accurate picture of the pandemic's reach. Now, There's some interesting keywords popping up here in this story. Statistical model. See, this is a technique that is used in climate change. It is actually based on projections. It is based not on facts, not on data. The data was very clear, and I was following the swine flu epidemic. I think that the Lancet is making up stuff. I think they're telling fibs. I know that the swine flu deaths in 2009 were low. I mean, that flu deaths generally were low. It was a very low flu season, and swine flu was a very mild flu. We are going to break. Please stay with us. I'll be right back with Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Today we are going through an avalanche of news, and I've got a lot more to get through. And of course, in the next hour, I'm hoping to get some callers. Would love to hear your opinions. And those numbers again, if you would like to call in. If you're calling in from Australia, 1-300-153-372. If you're calling in from the US, 512-646-1984. Now, I have in studio with me George Georgis, who has been on the show several times now. And George, you have been doing some research into the current Syrian situation. I unfortunately have not been able to get up to speed with that because I've just had so many other things that I needed to do. But I will now turn it over to you, George, to give us an update on the crisis, which is actually really reaching now a critical, I can't really say critical level. I've already said crisis, but anyway, it's getting more ridiculous.
It's more interesting, actually, if you look around the side issues that have taken place in this overall affair. You've got the Iran-Syrian situation in itself. You've got Washington pushing its version of the domino theory in the Middle East. We had isolated incidents. If you look at them separately, they're isolated, but if you link them all together, there is a sequence. We had the Russian vessel with a Curacaoan flag from Murmansk, the big Russian base in the North Sea, near the White Sea, actually, approach Syria to deliver three repaired attack helicopters and some other material. That was turned back. It returned to Murmansk, was put under a Russian flag, given a one-ship escort, and sent back down to Syria. We note that a couple of nights ago, the British special forces landed in Syria, and they're quietly making their way to Damascus, gathering the opposition parties as they move along. We had also the situation of Putin has been in Israel. For a day, I believe it's a couple of days actually, ostensibly to lay wreaths at Russian war dead memorials in Israel. I think that the discussions there would have been a little bit more intense than that, and Putin is not a great travel fan. So I believe that the Iranian and the Syrian issues were brought to hand there. We have a situation which is slowly seems to be evolving as a false flag, where you've got one, perhaps two Turkish jets having been shot down, travelling low, very high speed into Syrian space. They were shot down. Arguments have been brought about from that. We're thinking back about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, another false flag, interesting scenarios there. Turkey has moved troops to the border. We note that the opposition parties in Syria are fundamentalist. We note that the Saudi Arabian Sunnis are supporting certain actions and certain factions within Syria itself. Russia has had an historic interest in Syria, the geography primarily, I understand. Now, Russia apparently has stepped aside from the situation, allowing America a face-saving effort there. So there would have been a trade-off, as there was in the Cuban Missile Crisis, which wasn't really heard media exposed. There was a trade-off there with missiles in Turkey at the time against the missiles in Cuba. So there is some trade-off there concerning Russia allowing America a face-save there. I'm not sure what exactly that may be. It may be some trade-off concerning missiles in Turkey. I'm not sure. But certainly they wouldn't step aside. Israel has made comments about the Iranian situation. I'm sure that at this stage, Israel is not going to attack Iran. Iran and Syria have been involved with this super bill issue, which has been going on since the Shah was there. That's worth a read.
Can you actually expand a little on the super bill issue? But just before you do, I just want to round off this question about Syria. Your analysis, George, is that Russia is backing off on Syria.
Yes.
And that they're basically going to allow NATO to basically do to Syria what they did to Libya, if not worse, if not a complete occupation.
Yep.
But they're trying, obviously, to get the rebel forces to overturn the government.
Yes.
And they're backing the rebel forces. If that fails, they will just use full-on military invasion and occupy Syria.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Russia does not give way, despite some media opinions. If Russia backed off Syria, Washington, the sigh of relief from Washington would have been quite laudable and audible. Now, I believe that something else has happened there in the background. I'm not quite sure what that is. It will come out in due course. But Russia does not back down like that. The situation there's a product called, it's referred to as a super bill. During the period of the Shah of Iran, after the Mossadegh government had been overturned by America, for some odd reason, which still hasn't been determined, intaglio printing presses, paper, ink, original plates were sent to Iran. Iran was printing American dollars. That didn't stop.
Was this in the 1980s, George?
Yeah, there's a tie-in with the Noriega affair, with the Iran-Contra affair, concerning exchanges of currency. We're talking telephone numbers here of 4 billion and 8 billions in cash. Now, there is some evidence on the internet concerning this, but a lot hasn't been revealed. There is enough there to be able to form a reasonable conclusion of what's taking place there. So Iran, with Syria, have been distributing American dollars, real ones. That has caused some problems. The story is written up as a super bill.
Now, I've checked this out. You've mentioned this before, and I've checked it out. It checks out. The super bills do exist. Of course, they're described in Wikipedia as forgeries or as counterfeit currency, but you're saying that these notes are actually legitimate currency in terms of how you define it, because they were, whoever made them had the correct tools, have the correct machinery to make them indistinguishable from normal currency.
They were given the correct intaglio printing presses, the correct paper, the correct ink. The only way of identifying them would be through a series of serial numbers, if they were known. The government, of course, there would know them. So that would be the only way. As far as counterfeit is concerned, that's not correct. They are effectively legitimate bills printed off-site. So that, in the wiki story there, it indicates that it may be some mafia group, it may be North Korea, it may be Iran. The reality is that it's Iran if you search through the history and you check what's actually taken place. So that's another strange event that's happened in that area. The other interesting point is the Saudi royal family supporting a lot of these fundamentalist groups. There was the Iraqi attaché in Washington at the time, before the first invasion there, had made noises to this effect, but it slipped over. I particularly listened to what he was saying. This is prior to that first invasion, and he was linking the Saudi royal family. Now, if that was correct, then we've got the Saudi royal family against US interests in the region, which didn't quite gel. So there is something else involved there. So it might be that the Saudi royal family is supporting particular religious factions, which in turn are supporting certain activities around the Middle East. So it's a little bit more complex.
George,
there.
We've got about 20 seconds left, so we're just going to break at this point. I'd really like to understand more about the connections with this and the ongoing Middle Eastern situation. Are you good to stay for another section?
I insist on it.
Okay, we'll be right back with George Georges for another segment. Stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio. Hi, welcome back. It's good to have your company today. You're listening to Truth News Radio, broadcasting from Sydney, Australia. Please check out our website sometime, www.truthnews.com.au. We put all our podcasts up on the website, but you can also find the archives at Logos Radio Network, and just Google that or go to our site and follow the links. I've got George Georges here in studio, and George, you were just drawing some connections there between, you were trying to sort of explain the bigger picture of what's happening in Syria, and you were referring to Iran and the super notes. Now, can I just clarify? Obviously, it looks like the attack on Syria is a prelude to an attack on Iran, and the indications we're getting is that Russia is now giving the green light to NATO and the US to attack Syria. Are they going to also then just stand back and let them take Iran? And what is the significance of Iran having these notes? I'm not quite sure how that connects to what we were talking about, but please continue.
Through the Iran-Contra affair, we became aware that the American administration at that time was prepared to buy those notes from Iran.
Okay.
So they gave them, they exchanged, I think it was a 2-for-1, so those serial numbers wouldn't go through and be discredited through banking clearing houses.
Yes.
So 8 billion in Iranian currency was exchanged for 4 billion, and that was part of the unreleased information during the Iran-Contra affair. Other exchanges have taken place. I believe at this stage, my information is fairly good, as you're aware, that Syria is being handed over Assad and the loyalists will be given safe passage. We'll see what happens there, in exchange for Iran being left intact. The nuclear ambitions of Iran are to provide power. They're not weapons. They don't have weapons ambitions.
Just clarify one point. So you're saying that they're going to give them Syria, but they're saying stop there. You leave Iran alone, you can have Syria.
Yes. What happened with Syria is America was allowed to run up a dark alley. Clinton was facing the wall at the far side. The Russians are not as silly as herd media tends to make them out to be. Now, being up a dark alley, having a ship coming in from Murmansk that's likely to be stopped under escort, Syria having been declared of Russian interest, Putin being in Israel at the time, then something was traded. I'll find out what that was and I'll let you know as soon as I can. But something was traded. Syria is slowly going to be handed back. There is a conference of three people to take place very soon with Annan. Now, we tried to find out who these three people are, and it's a secret. No one is to know. If media has released some names, they would be of ambassadors together with the membership of the Security Council as represented. So I'm not sure what's happening there, but there is a secret meeting of three people to determine what government will be installed when Assad is moved aside. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But in general terms, I believe Syria, some arrangement has been reached with Russia. Syria has been handed over to NATO, and Iran is to be left alone at this stage. If there's some charge into Iran, then that will certainly cause some flash situation. Russia has been supplying Iran with their nuclear capacity, and it's strictly for power production, genuinely. There are no weapons of mass destruction there, and there aren't any to be produced. Iran is a particular place. It's a little different to Syria. They're all different. Iraq's different again. But I believe that that's what the current situation is. So Syria's gone, and Iran is to be held firm.
You know, I hope that that is, as bad as it is, I still hope that that is true, that that will happen. But my fear is that this is just a ploy. The people who we're dealing with, the military-industrial complex, the people driving this are the most ruthless people that the world has ever seen. They make Hitler and Stalin look like bumbling fools by comparison, because they're much more bloodthirsty. And that may seem ridiculous, but I really do believe that the people who are now running things are potentially capable of wreaking far more havoc in the world than even those, famous, conquerors of old, particularly Hitler and, say, maybe Napoleon and people like that. I mean, Stalin was mainly, I guess, a dictator who maintained the power by internal suppression. But I mean, what we have now is a combination of an incredibly aggressive military force, which has, what is it? How many battle carrier groups are there? There's like 12 of them.
I think there's 11 in the Nimitz battle group series. Now, the Nimitz is the biggest aircraft carrier ever produced. And you're talking like 3,400 sailors and 2,800 air crew.
Yeah, I mean, these are just floating arsenals of
ship.
Unbelievable military force, nuclear weapons, the whole lot. And there's at least 11 of those circulating in the world. Any one of them can take out a whole continent, probably. Now, the people who are running the show have demonstrated that they are quite willing to destroy countries. They've done it decade after decade, going back since the Second World War with the various wars every decade that they increase their technologies, increase their power. And from 9/11 onwards, they really started showing more brazenly their colours. From the 11th of September, you know, it became much more clear that these people are on a path of conquering the world. And of course, it was in their policy documents, the Project for a New American Century. But of course, you know, it's really neither, it's neither a conservative or a, it's neither a Republican nor a Democrat thing. That was just a cover. You know, the Project for a New American Century appeared to be a neoconservative agenda. Well, the Obama regime is following the same blueprint. So it has nothing to do with that. There are people behind this who want to set up a global totalitarian new world order, and they will kill as many people as they need to. This is what I'm worried about Iran and any kind of undertakings that they're going to make, any kind of little deals, backroom deals that they're going to make. They can just walk all over that and just renege on it and take Iran anyway.
The industrial military complex, which is now part of the security industrial complex, we have got a new version since 9/11, drive government. But government has to be able to preserve itself. The industrial military complex is will self-destruct if it'll just keep charging into walls. It doesn't matter. It's an inanimate object. Governments have some personality, not much, but some. So the only controlling elements you've got are governments, effectively. The industrial military complex would charge around the place and cause all kinds of grief. We saw what happened in Central South America. We've seen throughout the world, in Africa and such. But it's, as Eisenhower had warned at the end of the Second World War, all this came about. As he also warned us that one day people will deny the Holocaust took place. That also has occurred now. So there are great concerns. There are a lot of arms around the place. There are a lot of belligerence, a lot of hostilities, a lot of false flag events. Russia is a country that has suffered at the hands of warmongers for a long time. Russia today won't give ground unless there's something in exchange. They don't care about the herd media perspective. They care about reality. We saw what they were capable of doing after chasing right back into Berlin after Hitler had marched through the through Russia up to Stalingrad and just outside Moscow. So the Russians will not give any ground unless there's something in exchange. So I have faith in, I prefer a bilateral system. America on its own as a universal power is not a safe world. The Cold War was not a safe place. But there needs to be some check and balance. There needs to be some opposition. There needs to be a point where someone stops and thinks, would they do that? Or should we go there? And these are not matters of defence, as everything is postured. These are matters of aggression.
Yes.
The Middle East is aggression. It's not defence. So
so you think the Russians will hold on Iran? They will hold their position on Iran at all costs, but they will let Syria go?
I think for Iran to go, a very large price will need to be paid by Washington. I don't know what that is.
Right.
It's not an impossibility, but Russia will not give unless...
And what is the Saudis' role in all this?
The Saudis have been financing through the Sunni movement. The Saudis support the Sunni faction. The Sunnis themselves are supporting various fundamentalist or other groups around the place. So the Saudi royal family is directly or indirectly supporting a lot of the problems around the planet that can be.
And of course, they're a corrupt regime, yeah. that is a puppet regime, essentially, of the Western powers. Very important that they be there from the point of view of Western power, because Saudi Arabia does have the largest oil reserves of any part of the world. We are just reaching the end of the hour. George, any quick words?
Saudi history is an interesting read too, and you might find some disappearances and murders in there, apart from try to balance the nine.
Let's do a whole show on the Saudi situation.
See you soon.
Yeah. It's been great. We'll be back for the second hour, of course, and if you'd like to call in, the numbers there I gave out before, please do. You're with Truth News Radio. Stay with us.